my glasses, I can't read the screen. And when I take off, when I put on my glasses, I can't read my notes. It's definitely old age. Thank you. This podium looks very big. I didn't know that when I make it, it was this big. When Pastor Kevin asked me to come and preach, I was really reluctant to accept his offer. You know, I was in fear of knowing that there has been many great preachers standing here already before me. And I only agreed to preach on the basis that I know that I can't. But through the Holy Spirit, things will happen. So I let the Holy Spirit lead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe in you. And Lord, I know that you are here with us now, and that every step that we take, every breath that we breathe, every single heartbeat of our heart is in your hand. As we sit down here, Father, to listen to worship you, Father, please remove all our burdens. Please allow us to be in your presence and allow you to be here with us, Father. Please use me, Father, so that, Lord, may this word be yours and yours only. And I ask this in your precious name. Amen. I was led to the Lord in 2010. Let me put on my glasses to see if he's here. By our own Pastor Rogers in coming to Southside here has been a blessing. Today, I'm not going to preach a great sermon. I'm going to share with you my journey for the last 7 years as how I have come to know the Lord. Before I become a Christian, at the age of 15, I have been trained to perform rituals for spirits of my ancestors. That's including sending my uncle's spirit to the dead. I had to send his spirit to the dead. That was part of my role in my community. This was a very heavy burden for me to carry because no one is willing to share and no one wants to share that burden. I often visit my brother-in-law, Yong Sa. Many of you know him, Mr. Yong Sa Lo, who passed away. He was a Christian and he would say to me, "Brother, let Jesus Christ take your burden off you." And I would say, yes, I will think about it. But in my mind, I'm saying that how would a white man God know my story? I'm not going to be the one to break that cycle of worshiping my ancestors. He's a white man. He is not my God. Okay, so in 2004, my father passed away. This is a picture of my father. He passed away, and I was left to take charge of his funeral. This including feeding 30 people every night for 5 days, and then feeding 500 people for 3 days and 3 nights at the funeral. I have to please everyone because I need their help to perform all the rituals. Pleasing human being is so hard. I would rather please the spirit. It's so easy. It was such a hard obstacle to do. The first time Pastor Roger and Pastor Oni came to visit me, and they told me, "Jesus Christ, save me." I understand what Pastor Roger was saying. And in my mind, I was saying, yeah, But in my heart, I was saying, no. I was waiting for a sign from God. I was waiting for someone to make a decision for me. I was waiting for someone to take the blame for me. I didn't want to make that move. However, on the 11th of October in 2010, in front of Pastor Johnny and Pastor Roger, I decided to take that step of faith. It is a step of faith because I have no idea what I was getting myself into. It was definitely a step of faith, walking blind. I was accepted into Southside with open arms, and many of you become my friends, and you are like a family to me. We have gone through great times together, SP and Pat, big Buddhas. Sorry, that's a personal joke for us. We have gone through great times together, and we have cried together as well. Many of you have become really, really close friends. I know that many of you are deeply, you have been Christian for a long time, and your faith is strong in Christ. But for me, I still have that seeds of doubt. Am I making the right decision? Did I choose the right path? And this seed of doubts just keep turning inside me. So is Christian right? What happened if I'm wrong? Is Jesus real? What happened if I die? What would my family do? I accepted Christ, yet I haven't changed. I'm still the same person. So if I die, who's going to help my family? Is Christianity the true religion? Or should I go back and worship my ancestors? I'm not sure whether you have asked that question yourself, but I did. These are the questions that run through my mind. These are the questions when my family disowned me, when my sisters, my cousin, my niece, and my nephew don't call me to lunch anymore or dinner anymore. And you are the only person in your community to be converted to Christianity. Am I making the right choice? You know, I was often told that all religions, no matter what, we all end up at the same place. It's just a matter of which road you take. Some of us come from down the hill, others from down the rivers. We're all going up to the same mountain at the top. Is that true? If that is true, then I don't have to be a Christian. I can worship my ancestor. I can be a Muslim. I can be whatever I want to be. I don't have to worship God. And I'll still end up at the top. See, when you believe in Christianity, our faith is held by one thread. And to me, that's what I wrestle with. Did Jesus really raise from the dead? Now, I don't know about you guys. I've seen a lot of death in my life. I hold my uncles in my arm. I see friends and family dies. But none of them rise from the death. My father died in front of my eyes, and he hasn't risen yet. Is it true? According to Paul, who wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, and if Christ has not risen, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. This journey that I'm going to take you, It's not about what the Bible said. It's not about digging into the Bible. It's about digging into my heart. Digging into my heart and answer that question for myself. You also need to answer that question to yourself. If you have a seed of doubt there, that needs to come out. If that doesn't come out, you are going to sit on there and it's going to eat you up. Your faith to grow, you need to get it out. So, what does it mean if Christ didn't rise from the dead? According to Dr. Derek Brock, the author of Who is Jesus? Linking the historical Jesus with Christ of faith, stated that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that means the Bible is false. Jesus' claims is false. Need to get my eyes on. God does not have the power he claimed he has. God is not a keeper of his word. God is not the one who fulfilled his promise. God does not have the power he claimed he has. And all the apostles are false witnesses and liars. So if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then we might as well go home because we are wasting our time here. But it gets better. More to come. In Revelation 1:8, I am the living one. I am dead. And now, look, I am alive forever and ever and hold the keys of death and Hades. The reason he controlled hell, the reason he controlled death, is because he conquered his resurrection. If he didn't conquer it, then he doesn't control it. Matthew 28:10, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The supremacy of Jesus Christ is the result of his resurrection. Neither is there salvation in any other name other than Jesus. So if he can't do it, then nobody can. And if he didn't rise from the dead, then there is no salvation. There is no forgiveness. There is no penalty paid. There is no reconciliation to God's purchase. And we are all damned with Christ. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body before his spirit who lives in you. If the spirit didn't raise Jesus, if the spirit didn't come, if the spirit isn't dwell in us, then we have no hope of resurrection as well. For if we have been raised with Christ, if you have been raised, we will be raised with Christ. My question is this. If Jesus couldn't save himself, how can he save you or me? If Jesus couldn't save himself, how can he save you and me? How can we trust that? I have read many, many documents for the historical Jesus. That is, that Jesus was real. Jesus was a real person. He was alive. Then, there are historical documents to support that. But, there are no documentation to prove that Jesus actually rise. I encourage you to go and search for it. There are no documentation to prove that Jesus rise. No one says anything. The only people that say it is Christian. But isn't the Bible biased towards the Christian? According to John Dixon, in his book, Investigating Jesus, A Historical Quest, Dixon said, bias is present in all writing, ancient or modern, religious or secular. He went on to say that Tacitus was biased towards his emperor and Josephus was biased towards the Jews. When we examine historical documents, we should look at the core of the story and not the bias. But the non-Christian said, how can you use the Bible to prove resurrection? This is like using the Bible to prove that the Bible exists. How can you use the Bible to prove resurrection? Atheists claim that the New Testament contains so many miracle stories in there that these are just makeup things. They are not historical facts. In his book, The Empty Tomb, Graham Smith stated that the starting point to establish what facts are agree. Okay. The starting point to establish what facts are agree, then embark on a fact-finding exercise in relation to the dispute area by considering the evidence available. So, where is the starting point for the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The empty tomb. No one disputes the empty tomb. The Christians don't dispute it. Non-Christians don't dispute it. That's where our starting point is. That's where my starting point is. The non-Christian, according to Matthew 28, said his disciple came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. This was the argument that the Jewish leader produced. It means it shows that, yes, the tomb was empty. Definitely, there was no argument there. 100 years after Jesus' death, there was a debate between Justin Martyr and a Jewish scholar in the Talmud Yeshua in chapter 107. It's too small for me to read from this. I'll read from here. You have sent chosen and ordained men throughout all the world to proclaim that a godless and lawless heresy has sprung from one Jesus, a Galilean deceiver whom we crucified, but his disciples stole him by night from the tomb where he was laid when unfastened from the cross, and now deceive men by asserting that he has risen from the dead and ascended to heaven. 100 years after, that's what the Jewish people are still claiming, that Jesus, he didn't rise. His body was stolen. You guys came and took it. So that proved that the tomb was empty. The non-Christian agree? Of course, we got no argument from there, right? We agree. According to Norman Geisler and Frank Turek in their book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, say that the skeptic offer the following explanation for the tomb. The wrong tomb. The disciple went to the wrong tomb, first proposed by Crosby Lake in the 1900s. The swarm theory. Jesus was unconscious and was later revived in the tomb in the same mortal body proposed in the 1780 by Karl Barth. The substitute theory proposed by Muslim 500 years after Jesus' death. The substitute theory is that somebody else, God, substitute somebody else for Jesus. So the person that died there was not Jesus, but where's the body? The myth theory, copy pagan resurrection myth. This one saying that all the apostles, they just heard about some resurrection thing and they just copy it. That was proposed by Thomas Paine in the 1700s. And the last one, the disciples stole the body. The disciples stole the body proposed by Jewish leaders 3 days after Jesus' death. You know, these are 5 of the main theories that they come up with, that the tomb was empty. But I can't find any evidence to support it. There is no evidence, no documentation to say this is, they can support those evidence. These are all theories. The main theory was the best one, was the one that the disciples stole the body. But then there is nothing to support it as well. No documentation to show. You know, if there was any, if there was one document to say that the Roman or the Pharisee actually persecuted someone for stealing Jesus' body, then I would say, yeah, that's true. But there's nothing. There's nothing about it. There are lots and lots and lots of documentation about Jesus, about people persecuting Christians, but there's nothing about somebody stealing Jesus' body. And some of these theories are so far-fetched that my daughter, Faith, don't even believe them. How can we believe them? You know, for example, the swarm theory, the substitute theory. How can you believe that somebody just substitutes someone without somebody knowing? You know, even I just can't accept that. From the Christian perspective, the tomb is empty because Jesus bodily resurrected and he has ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of our Father. Now, is there any evidence to support that? That's the question you have to ask. Firstly, let me paint it a bit of the scene for you guys first, right? In my mind, I can relate it to the apostle living, eating, and breathing with Jesus for 24 hours a day, 360 days a year, for 3 years. I can picture that. I can see that. When Jesus breathed, when Jesus sneezed, when Jesus walked, they know. I don't know about you guys, but Johnny and I have been together for 7 years, and not 7 days a week. We know exactly what the other person is thinking. Derek agreed. Can you imagine? No, you can't imagine it. 7 days a week, 365 days a year, for 3 years, you will know the other person so well that he just only had to wink and you know what he or she is talking about. And that's, to me, is that's the relationship I have with my wife. When Jesus was crucified and buried, I believe that all have the same doubt as me. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. I can imagine Peter and the other apostles speaking together. It would be something like, he's dead. Are you sure? But he says he's the Messiah. No, he's dead. Really? They bury him. I thought he was the Messiah. No, he's dead. How can we be so foolish to listen to him? Now imagine Jesus walking through the wall, standing there. I want you to imagine this, all right? Jesus walking through the wall, standing there in front of you, with hands apart, and you can see the nails in his hand, and he said to you, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. How much impact would that be on you? the only people who know whether the resurrection is true or not is the apostle. For a bunch of uneducated farmers and fishermen who fled at first sign of danger to suddenly become heroes and not afraid to die. How? Why? From day one, they become bold, courageous to preach anywhere, even in hostile environment. They've been tortured, whipped, and imprisoned, and they still go on. Why? Why? According to Sean McDowell in his book, The Fight of the Apostle, examining the martyrdom account of the closest follower of Jesus, he said, the argument rests on their willingness to suffer and die for their belief in the risen Jesus, which demonstrates their sincerity and the fact that we can historically show that some of them did die as martyrs, and none recanted only strengthened this case. McDowell further went to say, the apostles were not liars, rather they believed they had seen the risen Christ. They were willing to die by this claim, and many actually did die for it. We are worshiping Jesus today because of the boldness of the apostle. Our trust in the resurrection of Jesus is based on their belief and their action. Not our belief and not our action, but on their belief and their action. So you were saying that, yeah, you know, but the apostle, they could be lying. But what about Paul? What about Paul, the Christian killer? Paul, you know, he'd probably be standing there where they stoned Stephen, and Paul would probably say, yes, yes, another one. That's Paul. Why did Paul die for Jesus? What was Paul to gain when he was there? Paul, why did he change his life for a life full of promise, power, and then to a life of poverty? And he was eventually beheaded in Rome. This is what Paul said. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting as rubbish, so that I can gain Christ. He must have experienced something so wonderful, something so magnificent, that he's willing to let go of everything just to have it. I have read many books, listened to many discussions, but no one can explain to me why they all died for Jesus. If there is no resurrection, why? Until now, I still haven't got that answer. The preaching in Jerusalem, Peter started preaching in Jerusalem, and about 3,000 souls come to Christ. My question is that, of those 3,000 people that come to Christ, why didn't anybody ask the question? Jesus didn't rise from the dead. I can see it. His tomb is there. Why didn't they ask that question? Why suddenly 3,000 people come to Christ and not asking the question? I don't know about you, but us, you know, we're probably about 200 here. I reckon some of you will ask the question. I'm sure Marilyn will. You all remember 9/11. You know it took place. Did you ask the question if 9/11 was real? Did you ask the question whether 9/11 was caused by Muslim terrorists? You didn't ask the question because you saw on TV. And if you were in New York, then lucky you because you are here today. If you were in New York, you will have experienced firsthand. And you will believe that it's true. You will not question it at all. Imagine you are those 3,000 that accepted Christ. Will you ask that question? No. Why? Because you were there. You saw Jesus on the cross. And you saw him rise. According to Dr. Gary Habermas, unless Jesus' tomb was unoccupied, the early Christian preaching would have been disproved on the spot. How could it be preached that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead if the message was starkly confronted by a rotten body? And that's the truth. No one will accept the Christ. The Christian faith would die on that day if Jesus' body was there. People can see it. People can prove it. Then our faith is worthless. Next one is me. These are all research. This is me. I was touched by God. In May 2011, many of you don't know, but I work for Queensland Rail as their personnel officer. I look after about 40,000 personnel files all over Queensland. That's my job. Once a person sees Queensland Rail, we will put them their file, not them, but their file. In, we will put one of their files in one of these boxes. I'm sorry, I think very soon I'll be retiring from Queensland Rail. If I don't come to church, this is, you know where I am, all right? Now, I got a request for a file at 7 o'clock. And usually what happened is that I will go straight to the box, pull out the box, and the file will be there. This time, there was no file there. I couldn't find the file. So I start looking for the file. I'm looking. I have a system that works for me. I check two boxes on both sides, and then I check two boxes up and down. And usually, I will find it. Then after that doesn't happen, I couldn't find that. I used the same date of birth, but I checked different years. So go through different months and then go through, check all of that. I couldn't find it either. Oh, sorry, forgot to click. That's what the files look like. Each file is placed inside the box like that. So I tried to find it. I looked everywhere for it. I went back, took out the box again, went through with my finger, walked through the file, didn't have it. I searched everything for it. Then I went back to the box, and I took each file out of the box. As I was taking each file out of the box, it wasn't there, so I pushed it back in. That was from 7:30 to 12 o'clock. Imagine walking up ladders, pulling box out, all this dirt everywhere. I was looking for that. I was really getting anxious because the file, they want the file. And then I hear this, I don't know, I shouldn't say here because you think I might be crazy. But you know how you have this, just suddenly this voice or this feeling or something, I can't explain to you. But I just hear this just saying to me, it's in my mind, say, be still. And know that I'm God. As a curious person, I don't know what you were saying. Probably most of you say nothing, but I answer that call. If you are God, bring back my file. So, you know, when God, when they say, don't put your God to the test. That's me, okay? I did. I put him to the test. So I said, if you are God, bring back my file. So I went to lunch. See how conscious, how confident I was? No, I wasn't confident at all. You know, and I went to lunch. And after lunch, I came back. And I pulled the box out. The first file was the file I was looking for. For me, that's the start of a great journey. That's the start of a magnificent journey with friends and family. What about you? So what does it mean for me now? The apostle, they all died for Jesus. And I believe that. There is no other way that grown men are willing to sacrifice their life for some unknown cause. They must have seen something. And I accepted that. I accepted that Christ touches me. Might not be like the Apostle Paul where he knocked me off my ladder, but it was enough for me to accept that, yes, he's real. And so what does it mean for us? The resurrection assures that our future is safe. Because Jesus both died and rose, so will we. The resurrection proves that our future judgment and that Jesus, God, will ultimately win at the end. Amen. And I believe in that as well. It also means that Christ has the power to forgive sin because he rose from the dead. And if he rose from the dead, he has defeated Satan, and he has given us the power to live forever. Now, how do you test whether you believe it or not? According to the dictionary, the Bible, to test is to be proven by trial. The psalmist wrote that God test my heart and my mind. Try me and know my thought. I'm not asking you to do this, all right? But I just give you an example. Abraham was tested when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. What about you? What have you sacrificed for God that he's testing you? What have you done to build his kingdom? What is stopping you from doing that? I want to share something personal with you guys that I have shared with some of the elders, but not with everyone. Both of my kidneys are dying. Currently, my kidneys are functioning at 10%. 4 years ago, I have a GFR, that's with medical terminology, that's the rate of filtration of my kidney. 3 years ago was 40. Today is at 14. At 7, I will need dialysis. So I'm heading downhill from here. The honest answer is, am I scared? Of course. But what can I do about it? I can't. And this is when a Christian with the faith in the resurrection of Christ, come on his knee and say, Lord, it's up to you. My life is in your hand. I let you control me. Use me if you wish. Sustain me until you no longer want me. Then take me home. You know, Billy Graham's last word really touched me when he said, I'm not dead, just change address. But I'm still here, right? I'm still here. So, if because the resurrection is, I can't even read from here, because the resurrection is true, we know that it's true. We can rest on sure that it's true. We know that Buddha's body was cremated and is at the relic at the tomb of Thoth in Sri Lanka. Confucius is in his hometown in Guangzhou, China. Muhammad is buried at the mosque of the Prophet in the city of Medina in Saudi Arabia. My dad is buried at Kilcoy Cemetery. So where is Jesus' body? If Jesus is the only one that, Jesus is the only one that rose from the dead, and there is no body to prove it, then we know that is true. Put your trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so great. You have given us so much. You've given us your life. And Lord, you have also risen from the dead. That one day, Lord, that we will be sitting with you at the right hand of God. And one day, Father, that we will no longer have to suffer. And our body will be glorified because you have done it, Father. So, Father, please let this message sit in everyone's heart and let them know that everything they have on earth is nothing compared to what they will behold in heaven. Father, I want to ask this in your precious name. Amen.